Good morning.
Good morning.
Please join with me in our responsive call to worship that you will find in your bulletins. We come this day to celebrate God's presence among us.
And to celebrate God's love expressed through the life and spirit of Christ.
With each new year, we commit to being shaped by Christ's life and ministry.
Let us grow in our love and contribute to the healing and caring for the world around us as we gather together in love, in community, and in worship.
With deep listening and receptive and open hearts,
we rejoice in the life that God gives us with all of its new possibilities every day. Let us come together in worship, in strength, commitment, understanding, love, service, and peace. Amen.
Please join with me in prayer. Dear God, this day and every day, we are encircled by your love, blessed by your presence, and sustained by your spirit. You gather us into this sacred circle of life and give us a song in our hearts, laughter on our lips, and kindness in our touch. With joy and thanksgiving, we offer you our dreams and our deeds, our hopes and our ideals, our prayers and our needs in this renewed time of worship. In the spirit of Christ, this we pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, Ola Deli. It's hard to believe, but Ola Deli's been a deacon for 4 years, and that's his last time in the lectern for this round. So it's been a great pleasure having him on the Board of Deacons, and good morning, everybody. And welcome to worship here at Southport Congregational Church. For those of you who are here in person, those of you who are joining us live stream, we are thrilled to have you with us on this day. If you would take this moment to sign the friendship register and sign your name, pass it on to your neighbor, greet one another in fellowship hour following worship, that would be a great thing. And as I'm looking out over our congregation today, I see two pews filled with my family, which is awesome. That doesn't often happen. And my sister Jody's family is here. We celebrated the upcoming nuptials of my niece Rebecca to her fiance John Lavecki. They're getting married on Father's Day. Also here is my nephew Michael, same family. His fiance, Maddie Clapp, they're getting married on Mother's Day. And also right behind them are the Garland family, and they have a daughter getting married in June. So that's like a little wedding section right over there. But always fun to have all that good news and all that fun coming up. Today, after church, we have a very special second hour for you. Susan Schnitzer, who is the founder and CEO of, she's not the founder, sorry. It's like a 100-plus-year-old organization. She is the CEO, sorry, Susan. She is the president and CEO of the Connecticut Institute for Refugees and Immigrants. And she is here to talk about all the great work that they do, to give us clarification on what the refugee and immigration situation is. She is a fabulous speaker, and she runs a phenomenal organization that we are very proud to support. So join us for our second hour if you're available. And then next Sunday, Charlie Grady, who is the founder and CEO of Hangtime, will be here, and another great speaker and another great set of work being done in Bridgeport. This Friday night from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. is our biannual sip and swap. And that means as you're putting away Christmas decorations and are looking at all those holiday decorations from holidays upcoming that you're maybe a little tired of, you should pack those up. Drop them off at church sometime this week, and we will put them in on tables around their appropriate holidays, and then you come on Friday, have some beverages and some snacks, and get to walk around and do a free swap of something that someone had that you might like to brighten your holidays coming up this year. Just a fun event, and help you clean up a little bit. Not that you all need to be cleaned up, but, you know. Also, this Sunday, Pivot Ministries was going to join us. There was a mix-up in schedules. They will be here next week. You don't want to miss that. They are a alcohol and drug addiction residential recovery program. Part of that recovery program that they run is everyone must mandatorily participate in their praise choir, and they bring the joy. They bring the spirit. So it's another fabulous organization that we are thrilled to support. And then lastly, upcoming for Thursday nights, beginning January 25th, going through February and a little bit into March, Dave Stewart is doing a Bible study on interesting questions that we have about life, universal themes, and how are they answered through the book of Genesis. So that is 6 to 7 p.m. Thursday evenings. It's an in-person Bible study. So if you would like to do that, you can send Dave an email. It's there in the bulletin, and he will be happy to include you in all the upcoming information. There's lots of other things in this bulletin that you should read. But right now, we are going to sing one of our favorite hymns from the 1960s, Pass It On. And as we do, I welcome the children to come on into the chapel for me, with me.
And now, as we enter this time of meditation and intentional presence with God, we ask that you keep in your deepest prayers Jerry Joliet and the Joliet family, Jerry's mother. Ginny is undergoing cancer treatments and is struggling to maintain her strength. So prayers of resilience and resolve and restoration for Ginny. For the Tillman and Murphy families, in preparing for the end of the long life of Richie Tillman, Stuart and Linda's father. And we pray for others in our community who are battling cancer and illness and addiction issues. May they find comfort and peace in the strength of our loving God. We pray for relief for our brothers and sisters around the world who are oppressed and marginalized and victims of inhumane violence. And prayers of thanksgiving for Roma Fanton, who returned home after being hospitalized and was in rehab for an extended period following a bad fall that she had. Prayers of thanksgiving for her return to home and her great medical care. And finally, prayers of thanksgiving for you, God, as we celebrate the many blessings of this congregation and this community. Let us remember how fortunate we are to live in freedom, with the resources to worship together, with the fullness of the expression of love for you, God, and for one another. With these prayers and the prayers that are on your own hearts and minds, let us take a moment to be intentionally present with God. Loving God, as we've begun another year in community with one another, we pray that we grow in our awareness of you every day, always with us in all that we do. We pray that we become more acutely aware of what you are asking of us, so that we might serve you and your creation with joy and commitment. We ask that you enable us to listen more attentively to our neighbors so that we might bridge divides and develop greater understanding and empathy for communities and individuals around the world. And we thank you, God, for the often overlooked blessings and beauty that you bestow on your creation every single day. Let us never lose sight of your abundant love and care for us when we believe that we are alone in your world. In the name of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Psalm 98 reads, "Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." In the spirit of offering as a glorification of God, our morning offering will now be received so that it might be shared with love in service to God's creation.
Oh,
join with me in the unison prayer of dedication. May you receive and bless these gifts, O God, as expressions of our gratitude, loving devotion, and commitment to do your will. One step closer to bringing your love, justice, and help to all people on earth. Amen.
And good morning to you. This is a great way to start off a new year, isn't it? It's being together and enjoying the sunshine, enjoying each other's company. And this morning, I'm going to share a couple of stories and some thoughts that have impacted my life over the years, over the decades. And we're going to begin with scripture passages, really beautiful scripture passages, wonderful ones to start off on the right foot for the new year. And they are short and they are impactful. First one is from Jeremiah 29 that says, "I know the plans I have for you, says God. Plans for you to flourish. Plans to give you a future with hope." And from Ecclesiastes, "God has made everything beautiful in its time." And then Psalm 90, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." May God bless these words of abundant life. Amen. So 46 years ago, I heard a statement and it was from Mahatma Gandhi. And it was just a couple of words, but as soon as I heard them, I couldn't stop thinking about them. And I kept going over them in my mind and repeating them to myself again and again. And it's a statement, but I kept asking it as a question to myself. And I kept doing this until it changed me. And a very short story of the statement, behind the statement, is this. Gandhi was on a train in India. He was surrounded by loads and loads of people. And it was jam-packed outside of the train before it was taking off, and including packs of reporters that were pressed up against the window where he was sitting. And everybody was just trying to get a look. They were trying to get something, a glimpse, a snippet. And one of the reporters, at one point, shouted out to him. He said, "Mahatmaji, Gandhiji," he said, "give us a message." And Gandhi didn't say anything. But he took a paper bag, might have had his lunch or something in it, and he ripped off a little piece of paper, and he took a pen, and he wrote a few words on the paper. And he gave it to the reporters. And the piece of paper said, "My life is my message." Yeah. My life is my message. And I was repeating this to myself again and again. I thought, well, what's my life? What's my message? And it was interesting because instead of jumping to some quick answer, I found myself just asking that question again and again. And I felt like I got so much out of asking the question instead of jumping to some quick answer. My life is my message. What's my message? That's one story. Another one is this. There's a man named Jeff Davis who shared this story. He wrote, "The older I get, the more I enjoy Saturday mornings." He said, maybe it's the solitude of being the first one to rise. Maybe just the joy of not having to be at work. Either way, the first few hours of a Saturday morning, he said, are most enjoyable. A few weeks ago, he writes, I was shuffling towards the basement with a steaming cup of coffee in one hand and the morning paper in the other. And what began as a typical Saturday morning turned into one of those lessons that life seems to hand you from time to time. He said, I turned up the dial on my ham radio. Remember ham radios when people would use those? He said, I turned up the dial to listen to the Saturday morning chat. And I came across some older sounding man who was saying something about 1,000 marbles. And he was talking to somebody, and what he said was this. He said, well, Tom, sounds like you're busy at your job, and I'm sure it pays you well, but it's a shame to have to be away from home, I'm sure, and your family so much. He said, let me tell you something that helped me keep a perspective on my own priorities. And then he started talking about his theory of 1,000 marbles. And it goes like this, he said. You see, I sat down one day and I started doing some math. Taking the fact that the average person lives about 75 years, some more, some less. And I multiplied 75 by 52 and I came up with 3,900, which is the number of Saturdays the average person has for their entire life. And he says, it took me until I was 55 years old to figure this out. By that time, he says, I already lived through 2,800 Saturdays. And he said, it got me thinking that if I lived to 75, I only had about 1,000 Saturdays left. So he said, I went to a toy store. And I bought every single marble that they had. I ended up going to 3 toy stores to be able to round up 1,000 marbles. This, by the way, is what 1,000 marbles looks like. He said, I took them home and I put them in a clear jar. And every Saturday since then, he says, I take out one of those marbles. And I say a little prayer of thanks. And he said, I started just kind of throwing them away. He goes, after a while, I couldn't do that anymore. So he says, now I take it and I put it in my garden. He said, I found that by watching the marbles disappear one by one, I find that I focus on the more important things. Because there's nothing like watching your time run out to help you get your priorities straight. And now, he said, I'll tell you one last thing before I sign off and take my lovely wife out for breakfast. He said, this morning, I actually took out my very last marble from the jar. Yeah. He said, I figure if I make it till next Saturday, well, I've been given a little extra time. And we can all use a little more time. And then he said, well, it was nice to meet you, Tom. Over and out. And when he signed off, Jeff Davis said, you could hear a pin drop. And then he wrote, now I had planned that morning to work on my antenna and then meet up with a few ham radio friends to work on a next club newsletter. But instead, he said, I went upstairs and I woke up my wife with a kiss. And I said, let's take the kids out for breakfast. She said, what's gotten into you? He said, nothing special. But it's been a while since we've just kind of hung out with the kids. And he goes, and by the way, do you think we could stop by a toy store on the way home? as a minister, you know, we get to work with a lot of people who are at the beginning of a lot of things. Beginning of a new marriage. Beginning of a new life, the birth of a new child, baptism, wonderful times, going off to college, starting a career. And we also get to be with a lot of people who are at the end of things. The end of their rope. The end of their hope. The end of their marriage. And the end of their life. And one of the things that I noticed along the way is that a lot of times when people are at the end of things like that, just like the man said, priorities suddenly magically seem to get clear. The appreciation for life comes into really sharp focus. Now, I don't know how many times I've talked to people who've been through some kind of crisis, and they tell me, and a lot of times it's interesting because they tell me, maybe ironically, with a little bit of a laugh, say things like, you know, when I look back before whatever crisis it was that happened, they say, you know, the stuff I used to care about, it just doesn't matter anymore. And now I think about, what was I so worried about all the time? So many things I used to think were so important. Stupid things that would ruin my day. And just the other week, I had somebody say, and you know what? Now it's all happened so fast. Where did it go? There's a French novelist back in the early 1900s who wrote, "What a wonderful life I've had. I only wish I realized it sooner." A recent survey asked, "What experiences have strengthened your faith the most?" 57% said, an illness or injury of a loved one. 55% said death of a loved one. 45% said serious injury or illness themselves. Here's the point. You know what? Jesus would be the first one in line to say, why wait for a crisis to get serious about what you love, right? What if you could benefit before you had some problem? And the younger, the better. Why not start today? Read an article, actually just this morning, about a woman who got trapped in a burning building, one of my greatest fears, and her life was saved. And she got severely burned. She was held in a hospital unconscious, in an unconscious state for a long time because the pain was so severe. Her face got so deformed that she could barely speak. In so many respects, her life has been ruined. Everything gone. And now she actually lives in a black compression suit. And her response to all this was, I feel lucky. I feel lucky to be alive. Body permanently disfigured, missing half of her nose. Would any one of us trade our life for hers? She says, I feel lucky. She lost half of her nose. I think about when I got all congested. What a miserable day. You know, we get in a fender bender and it's horrible. We wreck our car and get out alive and we feel blessed. What's wrong with us? How many of us have had our whole day ruined, because the serviceman who comes to repair one of our appliances, for God's sake, they set this window of time between like 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. Ruined, I tell you. The whole day. Outrageous. What do you have to lose in order to gain? To feel blessed. I'm going to close with another story that, God, I love from the first time I heard it, and that was more than 40 years ago, too, and every time since then. It's by a woman named Nadine Stair, and maybe many of you have heard this story as well. She was 85 years old when she wrote this. Makes me think about my life. If I had my life to live over, she wrote. If I had my life to live over, I'd dare to make more mistakes next time. I'd relax. I'd limber up. I'd be sillier, I've been, than on this trip. I'd take fewer things seriously. I'd take more chances. I'd take more trips. I'd climb more mountains and swim more rivers. I'd eat more ice cream and less beans. I'd perhaps have more actual troubles, she wrote, but I'd have fewer imaginary ones. You see, I'm one of those people who've lived sensibly and sanely all my life, hour after hour and day after day. Oh, I've had my moments. And if I had to do it over again, I'd have more of them. In fact, nothing else. Just moments. Instead of living my life so many years ahead of each day, you see, I've been one of those people who never goes anywhere without a thermometer, a hot water bottle, a raincoat, and a parachute. And if I had to do it over again, I'd travel lighter next time. I'd start barefoot earlier in the spring and stay that way later into the fall. I'd go to more dances. I'd ride more merry-go-rounds. I'd pick more daisies. If I had my life to live over, how would you do it? Why not start today? If I don't blank before I blank, I'll regret it. We each have one of those. What is that for you? Teach us to number our days, says the psalm. And now, you get to fill in the blank. Thank you for sharing a marble with me today. Thank you. How great. My God, the sun is shining. This day is before us. Opportunities to love, to lift up, to serve, to make somebody's life a little bit better by what you do. That makes the world a better place. That makes your life a whole lot better. May we go out and take this opportunity and all the opportunities that God just gives us day after day, and just savor every one and use it, and may you flourish. Teach us to number our days, God, and more that. Teach us to take advantage of this great hope and the opportunities that you give us in all of our days and all of our ways, now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.